on the floor. Now my jewelry box froze. Fuck up bowl, fuck up stove. Counted millions in a cold. Bad bitch, booted swole. Got her on bankroll. Can't fold. Just a no. Headshot, case closed.
What is up, guys? It's Andy Frisella, and this is the show for the realists saying goodbye to the lies, the fakeness, and delusions of modern society. And welcome to motherfucking reality, guys. Today we have Q and AF. That's where you submit the Qs, and we bring you the AFs. Now, you can submit your questions to be answered on this show a few different ways. The first way is...
Guys, you can email those questions into askandy@andyfrisella.com.
Or you go on YouTube, and on the Q and AF episodes, which it says right there on the thumbnail, you can comment your question in the comment section. We'll pick some from there as well. Other times you tune in throughout the week, we're going to have CTI. That means Cruise the Internet. That's where we talk about what's going on in the world. We speculate on what the truth is, on what the truth isn't. And then we give our opinions on the matter. It is a speculative show. And then we talk about how we need to solve these problems going on in the world. Other times we have Real Talk. Real Talk's just 5 to 20 minutes of me giving you some real talk. And then we have 75 hard verses, the 75 hard verses where people come on the show who have completed the 75 hard program, transformed their lives. And they talk about how they did it, what their life was like before, what their life is like now, and how you can use the 75 hard program to transform your life. Now, if you're unfamiliar with 75 hard, it is the initial phase of the Live Hard program. It is not a challenge. It is not a trend. Actually, on March 5th, it was 5 years old. How many five-year-old trends do you know of? It is a program. And it is not only a program, it is the world's most popular mental toughness program ever created. And you can get it for free at episode 208 on the audio feed. It's not on YouTube. We weren't on YouTube when that episode came out. If you go back to the audio feed of Real AF and go to episode 208, you get the program for free. Now, if you want to know the deep inside nuts and bolts of the program, you can buy the book. It's called The Book on Mental Toughness. It gives out every single detail of the Live Hard program, top to bottom, and also includes 10 chapters of mental toughness, why it's important, how to use it, how to build it in your life, and what it'll do for you, along with some case studies of some very famous people and how they use mental toughness to become the famous people that they are. You don't have to buy the book. It's not required. Like I said, you can get it for free, but it is available at andyfrisella.com if you're the kind of person that needs to know all the details, which I am that kind of person. So. We have a fee for the show. The fee is very simple. Tell a motherfucker about the show. That's the fee. Okay. Yeah. We get censored. We get shadow banned. We get fucked with all the time. I need you to share the show. So I make a deal with you. The deal is very simple. I don't run ads on the show and take money from people and curb what I'm going to say because of what other people say. And in exchange, I need you to tell people about the show. So pay the fee. Don't be a hoe.
Share the show.
All right.
Hey.
What's up, dude?
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah?
Good. What's happening with you?
I got the HVAC shit, right?
Yeah.
So I had the technician come out this morning, but there was a little turn of event. So some shit was definitely fucked up. And it's interesting because last night on my way home, a guy from the company called me and was just like, we'll just give you a refund. Because like I had went off on him a little bit and threatened some legal action and stuff. It's
probably a good idea.
Probably a good idea. He tried to right the wrong. And that's what he says. Like, I'm like, but then I'm like, I don't think I want the refund.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I think I'm going to move forward because it's not just me. Like, when you do some fucked up shit in business like that, like, you can't continue to do shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these people are probably scamming old ladies and shit. Like,
for sure they are.
You know? And so, like, I just thought it was interesting. Like, you try to do the right thing, but like, sometimes. You can't right a wrong.
Yeah.
You know? Well, what's your thoughts on that? Like, especially like in the business world, like, right, as an entrepreneur, how important is it to make sure, you know, like obviously nobody's perfect and there's going to be mistakes. But when you get to a point where you're making just some fucked up decisions,
I think intent matters, right?
Yeah.
I think is the intent to get one over on the customer or is the company intending to get one over on you or was it a mistake or was it just bad judgment? Or was the guy just having a bad day?
Right.
All of those things are forgivable. But when the intent is to take advantage or scam, I think that's different.
Yeah.
So I think those things are two different things.
Yeah. So I can nuke these guys?
I mean, look, dude, I think you make a valid point. If they really were scamming you, which I don't know, I trust you.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there. I didn't talk to them. But it sounds like they were. It sounds like bullshit to me. I think those people deserve... to be known about.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if they were just having a bad day, I mean, the fact that he tried to give the refund, was he just trying to give the refund because
the refund came after the legal threat.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know. It depends
on what
the intent
this morning
is
like, yeah, no, some, you know, there's some stuff.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah. I just think he imagined that I was going to be like this 70-year-old man or something that, like, you know, living on retirement or some shit. And it was like, oh, you know, yeah, $1,000. There you go. You know, nah.
So what'd you tell him?
Fuck off.
What'd he say?
He's like, okay. Well, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Keep you guys updated. Stay tuned for CTI on Tuesday.
Fucking HVAC drama.
Dude, it's wild shit, man. Yeah. But yeah, cool. Well, I got some good ones for you.
All right.
Let's dive into these, man. We got some, these. I like these. We got some good questions here today. Andy, guys, question number one. Andy, I love the show, and I love these Q&AFs. They have helped me as an employee looking to be better, which brings me to my question of this. I'm a mom of two small kids. My husband works full-time, which requires some travel for work. I work a career that I love 25 to 30 hours a week because of my husband's schedule. I need to be able to take my kids to school, pick them up, extracurriculars, etc. I want to approach my manager for a pay increase. However, with my limited hours that I am free to work, I am not sure how to provide more value as you always share. My work days are filled with back-to-back with the work that needs to get done, but with me needing to take care of my children, it does not leave me freedom in the evenings or ability to work late and create more value for myself within the company. For context, I work in a company that sells products online as well as in person. Thank you for advancing and for any insight. So how do you create more value when you feel like you're tapped out?
Well, the context of this is a good question, and I think it's very important for people to understand the reality of value. Value is not created with just more time. Value is created by the result that you produce. And we hear this a lot from young parents. Young parents struggle very much so with a career because they feel like, I cannot put in more time. Well, in situations where you cannot put in more time, that means you have to get better and more effective at what you do. So you have to view the reality of value for what it is, not what you've been taught to believe that it is. And what you've been taught to believe it is the narrative that we hear in society. The guy who's retired, I worked for this company for 65 years, and all they gave me was a gold watch. Yeah. Well, what'd you do for that company? Did you show up every day and not really do shit? Or did you show up every day and bust your ass and create real value? A lot of times people think that in order to create more value, they have to invest more time, when in reality, they have to become higher skilled with the time that they have. So when you look at your situation and you say, fuck, I can't put in any more time. I can't give any more. I got this and this and this that requires my time. Yeah, no shit. You're not the first person ever in the history of the world to have children. You're not the first person ever in the history of the world to have outside obligations other than your career. So you have to understand, if you want to have balance, you have to be great at what you do and produce value with high skill. So low skill, they produce value with hours invested. High skill produce value with results. And you have to convert your line of thinking from putting in more time to being more effective and more valuable. In this person's situation, that could look a number of different ways. Since more time isn't something that you can do, and you're clearly very stressed about not being able to put in that time, you should shift your thinking into, how can I provide a tremendous result for the company without having to work more hours? And what that typically deduces to is you becoming more focused, more skilled with the time that you have that produces a better result. People live in a fairy tale world when it comes to what they think companies want from them. They believe that companies want them to get there at 4 a.m. and stay till fucking 3 a.m. the next day and go home and drink a little water and get back in the fuck. That is not what people want. Nobody gives a fuck about that. They really don't. And if you work for leadership that thinks that that's where it is, they're not getting it either. Because the reality is, Winning organizations give a fuck about the result you produce. They don't really care about how much time it took you to produce it. That's the truth. That is the truth. If you can wrap your mind around this, you can find a place at a lot of different places that will pay you very well, because they will say, all right, this guy's a winner. This person's doing this. They got this. They're doing this for the company. Yeah, they're out of here at 5:30 because they have two kids that they got to take care of. But the fucking impact that they make between the working hours is so great that I don't give a fuck. Yeah. So, like, dude, most of these problems that people have in these scenarios when it comes to, quote unquote, balancing their life or feeling frustrated in their career come down to them not being as effective as they need to be with the time that they have, which means you have to increase your focus and increase your effectiveness, which means you have to put time into developing a higher skill set. That is what we're talking about. The blue collar, old school mentality of I'm going to put in 70 fucking hours every single, you know, by Wednesday. And bro, that's not real. That's not real. No one cares. They care about the result you produce. We have moved on from that time frame. I don't give a fuck how many hours it takes for a piece of content to be crafted and edited. What I care is the shit fucking fire? Is it awesome shit, right? If it takes you 24 hours to make some awesome shit, you might want to figure out how to fucking do it in two.
Right.
Okay? And you can apply that to your sales position or your service position or whatever position it is, your manager position. It's about being effective with the time that you have and understanding that that's how you really create balance. If you want more free time, be more effective with the time that you're there. Instead of sitting at your desk for 15 hours and pretending like you're trying to put in hours, say, hey, I'm only here for 6 hours, but those 6 hours I'm crushing. That is the key. So you have to move. This is a societal problem. This is a cultural problem. We need to move from the mentality of more work to the mentality of better work. And better work is what gets you fucking paid, not more. Any knucklehead can do more. They can do more, 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 more. And the problem with doing more is that you're always trading your time for money. And if you're always trading your time for money, there is a ceiling to how much money you have because there is a ceiling to how much time you can give. And a lot of people burn themselves out or make themselves feel hopeless or get frustrated or jump from career to career to career to career because they can't grasp the real game. The real game is producing the result. And whatever time that takes is irrelevant, because if the result is great, the value will be there. You will be worth more money. You will make more money. You will be happier. You will have more time, and you will have the quote unquote balance that you're looking for. So stop thinking like your grandpa and start thinking about how you're going to contribute and be effective with the time that you do have, and your whole entire life will get much better. A lot of people go into the office and they go into these organizations, not here, by the way, everybody comes here, bust ass. But I always got to say that because I don't want people to think I'm talking. I love what we do here, okay? Right. But what I'm saying is, when you go into the office and you say, you know, I'm going to, like, this is the mentality of a lot of people. They go into their job, they go into their place of business, they go to do whatever they do, and they try to do the least amount possible without getting in trouble. And then they're surprised when they don't progress. You cannot progress that way. You have to go in there with the attitude of, I'm going to put in very effective work that's going to produce a result, and that result is worth money. You are trading the results you produce for money. You're not trading the hours you put in for money unless you are lower skill. Lower skill people do that all the time. And that's why there's beginning jobs, and then there's middle jobs, and then there's careers. Okay. So yeah, you get paid hourly at certain places. That's because that's a low skill position. And as you produce higher skill, you move into positions where you're probably going to get some money and then some commission stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you're a true professional, you're going to get paid a whole bunch of money just because they know you're going to fucking knock it out of the park without being asked. Okay. So this is the progression of the mentality that needs to happen. If you grow from, you know, let's say early 20s person to early 30s person to early 40s person and try to progress your career with the hours invested only mindset, you will always be one of those people. So the perspective has to shift inside of you to see how you're going to be and gain skills and be more effective for the position that you're in, which will demand money. The goal is that you should be so fucking great at what you do that you can walk into your superior's office and say, fucking pay me. And then they have to pay you. That's where you want to be. And if you're there, you won't ever have a problem with money. That's the reality of the game.
And like, just like real shit, man. Like, I feel like even with that, though, like, because, you know, I feel like I counter people like, oh, well, you know, that's just not the place that I work at. And it's
okay,
like,
okay, well.
But if you're really that fucking good, for me, it's almost like it's impossible. Like, how can your employer not see it?
Bro, they do
so,
see
so
it.
So you're lying to yourself no, about how fucking good you
correct.
Are. Or
there's you know high levels of delusion
yeah.
in culture and society right now about people's actual value. Mm. Okay. If you are that great, they are going to recognize that. And they're like, dude, this idea, nobody recognizes me.
They have no choice.
Because you're not that's right.
They have no choice.
That's what becoming undeniable is about. Yeah. It's about producing such undeniable value that they have no choice. They should be looking at you on their own and thinking, fuck, bro, we better take care of that person because that person can go anywhere. And that's where you want to put yourself. And it's your job to put you there. It's not your organization's job. It's your job. If you go play professional sports, it's not the St. Louis Cardinals that are responsible for you doing your hitting practice and your fucking soft toss and your catches and your pitches. That's you.
Yeah, if you don't do it.
It's not their responsibility to get your fucking fat ass in shape. That's on you. If you show up to camp and you didn't do none of your practice, it's going to show in your result and you're going to get cut. That is how the world works. And if we all started just accepting the reality, okay, it's not personal. It's not personal. Nobody's holding you back. You're telling yourself a bunch of fucking lies, bro, and you're not being honest with yourself about how good you really are, and it's costing you shit. And you're spending your whole life being bitter because you're blaming other people for shit that is actually your fault. So if you want more and you want more time and you want to build a career, you have to understand the game you are playing. And the game you are playing is how much value does the result that I am responsible for, that I am producing, have to the mission at hand. And if that value is high, you will leverage that into high pay. That's reality. That's it. Okay. So like, it's very hard for people to understand because they grow up around parents that talk about hours invested or years invested or parents that say that fucking place doesn't give a fuck about you, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And look at their lives. Look at their bank account. Look at their fucking house. Look at their entire existence. Is that what you want? Because that's what you will get if you listen to motherfuckers like that. The truth of the matter is the world is very fair. When you accept reality, people say it's not fair. Well, you know what? It is fair because it works on a very simple principle. The result is X. The result is worth X. And you get the worth of that result that you produce.
Yeah.
And that's reality, bro. Yeah. Like if you're not in a company that fucking recognizes that and you have actual, and I'm not talking about these delusions of how good you are. You have actual data that you can walk in. You can say, look, motherfucker, this is what the fuck I'm doing. This is what everybody else is doing. Pay me. You're going to get fucking paid.
Right.
Okay. And no one's going to care if you're there at fucking 7 o'clock at night or 4 a.m. in the fucking morning or whatever the fuck. No one cares. No one cares. No professional sports team gives a fuck if, you know, fucking LeBron James shows up every single day. They care if he scores 60 fucking points.
Right.
How he does it, they don't give a shit.
They give two fucks.
They don't care.
Give us the
you know what I'm saying? Yes.
That's real shit.
And that's why he gets fucking paid. Because yeah. You could say whatever the fuck you want about LeBron James. I'm not the biggest fan of LeBron. I've been openly critical of a lot of things he does. I'm sure he's a cool guy to hang out with. It's not personal. However, it's irrelevant what I say because he's so fucking good.
Motherfucker wins.
Yeah. Like, dude, that's it. Yeah. That is the game. That is reality. There is no arguing about it. There's no skating around it. There's no hiding from it. And when you hide from this reality and you decide that it's something else, because, dude, I already know a lot of people be like, yeah, that's nice if you're this. Yeah, that's okay if you're that. Yeah, but bro, fuck you. Then go be a fucking loser. I'm telling you the game. You can either listen to what I'm saying or you cannot listen to what I'm saying. But if you don't listen to what I'm saying, you're going to be just like these other people that told you all this shit. What's their shit? What's their life say? What's their scoreboard look like? Okay. And then the worst part is that we have a whole generation of people that then sell themselves that that's what they wanted the whole time. And then when you sell yourselves on something that you wanted the whole time, when it's not really what you want in your heart for yourself, and it's less than what you could be, do you know what happens when you're 70 years old and you're about to fucking die? You look back and you say, fuck, dude, I left everything on the fucking table. I fucking wasted my whole life. So understand the game, play the game well, and you will have no problem getting paid and also having the rest of your life to live. This is the whole principle around the powerless system. Go fucking listen to episode 16. There is five critical tasks. If you do the five critical tasks for your life every single day by 10 a.m., you can fuck off the rest of the day. And you know why the program is built that way? Because that's reality. If you can understand where the value is and you drive the value, and by the way, driving the value, depending on where you are, may take some time. Maybe it's going to take you 6-7 hours a day. Maybe that's what it takes, but it shouldn't take you fucking 15 or 16. It shouldn't take you 14. It shouldn't take you 12. Because if it does, it means you're fucking off half the time. So
can we hit on this piece real quick? Because I want to come back to this real quick, Andy, because we talk about bettering yourself, increasing those skills. That's not supposed to be done on the clock.
No shit.
Right? Like, because I feel like people miss this, man.
Hold on. How is this missed? This is obvious shit. I agree with you. It is missed.
It's missed.
But like how?
Yeah.
How do you not? Where you go do the game? Okay, look, dude, your job, whatever your career is, whatever you're working on, that's your game. That's your regular season NFL game. That's where you perform. The rest of the time, that's where you're supposed to train. That's the off season. That's where you're supposed to read and learn and watch on YouTube and read books and gain skills and talk to people and get yourself better. All that personal development. Now, if you work in a great company, they'll personally develop you inside of that. We spend a lot of time here with personal development. Most of our meetings that we do are personal development driven. If you work for a great company, they're going to give a fuck about your personal development. But still, the onus of actually making that reality is on you.
Yeah.
And it's on you. So it's a sports analogy. If you show up to the game and you put up shitty results, you're not going to get paid, bro.
Work harder in the offseason.
And that your offseason might be some nights. It might be some weekends. And that's the other part of this little question. In the beginning of anything, your value is going to be driven by time because your skills are low. So your goal should be to increase your skills so that your time invested can go down. You see what I'm saying?
Beautiful, man.
So as your skill set goes up, your effectiveness goes up, the time invested and required for you to produce that result goes down, which gives you the freedom that you're looking for.
Yeah, I fucking love it. I love it. Guys, Andy, let's keep this moving. We got question number two. He says Andy with an exclamation point, so I'm assuming he's yelling.
All right.
Andy, I'm 17 years old. I want to win.
All right.
What would you recommend me do as a young man to get exposed to real winning and real success outside of social media land? I can't buy or rent a Lambo. Honestly, I think they're pretty mid if you ask me. Ferraris are better. But what are some ways I can go and touch these things in my real life to keep me hungry and inspired, as those are the things I want to have? Seeing real success and touching it, as you say, really resonates with me. I just don't have any examples close by.
Bro. So I didn't either. Okay. Like I didn't know anybody growing up. I knew one guy that had cars and I got close to him. Mm. I learned from him. I talked to him. I became friends with him. And he taught me a lot. But what I would say to you and to anybody else is that here's what I did. This is what I did. I would go to car dealerships and walk around, dude. I was that kid. I was, you know, the kids that take pictures of the cars out back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're all cool as fuck.
Yeah.
But they're all, you know,
they're young.
13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, right? Car young. Spotter kids that run TikTok pages and shit.
Yeah.
Really good kids. Ambitious kids. When I was their age, I did the same shit they did. Mm. I went to where the shit was. I got, like, dude, me and my friends, we would drive through the nice neighborhoods, and we would say, dude, That's the fucking shit I'm talking about. No, that's me over there.
That's my house.
You ever play that game with cars? Dude, that's my car. Yeah. That's my car. That's my house. That was the shit we did, bro. And we would drive through. Like, dude, the first street that I lived, when I met you, I was living over on over in Sunset Hills. Mm-hmm. Or I think I just moved to where I'm at now. But
yeah, you had just
moved. I had it for sale.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. That house, bro, I used to drive by when I was fucking 16 years old. Hmm. When they were building that subdivision, I said, dude, I'm going to live in this fucking street. And guess what? I did for 5 years. And you know the house I live in now? I used to drive by that motherfucker when they were building that. And I told myself, I'm going to fucking live in that fucking house. And guess what? Now I live in the exact house. That is the exact house that I thought about with all those years when I was broke. All those years when I wasn't making any money. Fucking $58,000 my first 10 years combined. All of those times, you know how many dreams I had to have to pull me through that? Insane amounts. That exact house that I live in now was the house I thought of during that whole entire time. And now I fucking live there. So there's a lot of power in being exposed to the things that you want. So I would encourage any of you who are looking for a better existence to start what I call window shopping, all right? And window shopping is simply driving through the neighborhoods, going to the car dealerships, going to the car meets. Find out when the car meets are, bro. The car meets are an amazing place to meet people because, dude, you're meeting people who are somewhat successful at a very minimum because you have to be to afford the shit. Mm-hmm. They're all cool. They all want to talk to you. They all have the same ideas of success that you have. Bro, I've met so many great friends through cars. You know, we've been a title sponsor of Gold Rush Rally for fucking since 2004, 10 years now.
Yeah.
Do you know how many friends I've met off of that rally that are like my lifelong friends? Some guys I do business with, shit. Like, dude, cars are an amazing connector because it actually is, it serves as a filter for all the negativity, right? Like, there's no fucking poor mouth boohoo motherfuckers that show up to a car meet, bro. Mm-hmm. Those guys are all ambitious. They all have businesses. They all want to do good. They all want to live a good life, and go talk to them. Ask them their stories. Ask them what they got going on. You know, dude, you'll find so many cool things just from that. So it's just constantly putting yourself in situations in real life where these things that you desire are right in front of your face. And then following it up with, you know, online.
Yeah.
You know, I window shop online all the time. I look at car sites. I look at property. I look, and I'm not even like trying to buy anything, but I still do it because like, it helps me make the things real in my life.
Yeah, I love that. Any comment on the Lambo comment in there? I saw that. I'm like, dude, holy shit, this is great.
So
he said Ferraris are better than Lambo. That's his personal opinion. I'm sure.
They are better. It is what it is. Like, it is what the fuck it is. I got some buddies who are very fucking great. They're big. I was a huge Lambo guy. I fucking love Lamborghinis my whole life. I still love the cars. I had a horrible experience with the company and I sold all my shit in one day and I replaced it with Ferrari. And by the way, at the time I hated Ferrari. I fucking hated them. I thought they were all blue blood, nose in the air douchebags. Real talk. I found out that I was completely wrong. The cars are superior. The values are superior. The people that fucking drive those cars are all in a different place in life than most of the guys that drive Lambos. It's a better culture. And, you know, if you guys at Lamborghini hear this, sorry, man. Like, it is what it is. You should have listened to me 4 years ago when I told you how to improve your fucking company. You told me to get fucked. Mm-hmm. So will I ever own a Lamborghini again? Probably. But I'm not going to buy them new from the fucking dealership in the business. I'm not with it. They fucking disrespect me hard. And a lot of people talk about how Ferrari's hard to deal with. Ferrari's not actually hard to deal with. They have a very simple structure of how it works. Mm-hmm. And they stick by it. And I think if you really get in with those guys and you become friends with them, you're going to learn how they develop such an amazing culture around their brand. Their most profitable car company in the fucking world. They've got the strongest car following in the world, and there's a reason for it, and it ain't because they suck. So that's my little pitch.
So this young man has some good taste.
I think so. But I'm not hating on anybody that likes Lamborghini either. The cars are fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
There's just things about it I don't like. Like how they don't renew, they run their model years for 10 fucking years straight and expect you to buy three or four of them along the way, and you take a fucking bath in every single one of them. You know, like Ferrari's coming out with new shit every two fucking years, three years. You know what
Fire
I'm saying?
Fire shit.
That's
too.
Exciting.
Yeah, bro.
That's exciting. They don't develop the cars fast enough. They don't change the tech fast enough. They don't come up with new models. They don't support their customers the same way. Like, it's just a very different thing. And I used to think, and a lot of people are gonna get pissed about this, but it's okay because I have experience with both. I'm speaking from experience. But I used to think Ferrari and Lamborghini was this or that. Like, they're on the same level. They're not on the same level. Ferrari is a few steps above Lamborghini in pretty much every single fucking way there is. So that's not to say that I hate the cars. Bro, the V10 Lamborghini platform is one of the best fucking platforms available. But you know what? I'd rather drive an R8 because I don't want to be seen in the Lamborghini. Right. Like, that's the truth. So, that's my take on it.
I love it.
Yeah, they make amazing cars. They can improve their company tremendously if they would listen to customer feedback from people who actually fucking build brands. They'd have a much stronger brand, but they're not willing to listen. So, that's where I'm at with it.
All right. Well, good shit, man.
Yeah, I'd love to own I'm probably going to own some more Lamborghinis. I'm just not going to buy them new.
Yeah. I love it. Well, guys, Andy, let's get to our third and final question. Andy, question number three. Andy, I'm still new and young in business, 4 years in, and I'm struggling with turning the work mode off at home. Honestly, it's not really me. It's my employees. First few years in, I had no problem taking the late night calls and addressing the issues that came up late at night. But since then, I've promoted a few people into some leadership spots to address those issues, that unless they absolutely need me to address them. With you 25 years in, does it change? Am I looking at this the wrong way? And if so, what do I need to do?
I don't think you're looking at it the wrong way. I think you probably just have the false perspective of what it's like. Mm. You're not going to, if you truly care and you're going to continue to grow, because remember, we only have two options. We go forward or we go backwards. If we try to maintain, we by default go backwards because the rest of the market is moving forward.
Right.
So you cannot maintain. If you want to maintain, you have to be moving forward at a slower pace, but still moving forward. And anytime as an operator of a business that you are moving forward in business, doing things like what you're talking about is a requirement of the job. I am on the phone to this day, every single fucking day till 10, 11 o'clock at night. Every single fucking day. Every single day. I know you guys think I just sit there and smoke cigars and talk shit.
Yeah, no.
But the reason I don't post more on social media, people, you know, you guys are like, why don't you post? Well, I love when you post more shit. Well, fuck, bro. It's hard to think of that when I'm on the fucking phone all fucking day. Okay? So in the times that I've tried to get away from that, my business is lost. And when I get back in it, they win. So, you know, there's something to be said about developing competent leadership. I have amazing leadership. My leadership here that runs these companies, they are fucking amazing, bro. My brother, Joe Sal, is the best fucking operator on the fucking planet, bro, that nobody knows about. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude's fucking ridiculously good. But do we still have to talk on the phone? Yeah, because the mission is so fucking big that it's just, we don't have enough hours in the day. So it's, if you have big dreams and you have a big plan, yes, it's reasonable to expect your leadership to handle almost everything. And then the shit that comes to you is shit that needs your input. And if you find, you should be working to cultivate leaders who understand the difference of bullshit and real shit. Okay, and all the bullshit they should fucking keep from you because your time is valuable on the real shit. And if you don't have those people in play, it's going to drive you crazy. But they're still not going to get to a point, even when you have the best leadership at play, where you're going to get, you know, your nights and weekends and you're going to get left alone. I mean, it's not reality, dude. You signed up. The reason building a company and building a business is so fucking hard is because it requires everything you have. And the idea of, you know, this is why I'm so critical about entrepreneurship culture as a whole on the internet. This idea, like, I saw this guy that I know, bro, and he made this video. And I know this fucking guy. And he made this video and he's like, yeah, man, I don't know. You know, all these guys out there talking about how hard, it's not that hard. All you got to do is hire people and make them do all the work. And I'm like, oh, that's it, genius? That's it? It's fucking simple. Well, where's your fucking company that's worth over $1 billion? Where's your fucking companies? Where's your shit? Oh, you don't have any because you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. That's not reality. reality is when you have big dreams, you have big goals, you're going to sacrifice other things that other people aren't going to have to sacrifice. For me, I'm willing to do whatever the fuck I have to do. That's what I assume my role is. My role is whatever the fuck I have to do. That's my role. And whoever calls me at night that has a problem, I address it. And I don't look at it like, oh, you're cutting into my time. Right. Because my mission is so important and so big that I understand that it requires that. So it's the answer to this person's question, it's a little of both. You're seeing it a little bit wrong, but you're also seeing it a little bit right. And so you want to find a good balance with your leadership where they know how to keep the bullshit away and handle all the stuff they can handle, but also bring you the real shit. And they can err on the wrong way of that. Sometimes leadership gets too fucking aggressive with handling shit.
I was just about to ask you, what if there's like no contact? You never get brought bullshit.
Well, so here's what happens. So when you teach people to start taking responsibility, owning their shit, like, you know, Jocko's book, Extreme Ownership, there's a place where you can take that, you can misinterpret that and take it too far. I understand what that means, but not everybody understands what that means. And so what happens to a lot of young leaders is they get themselves in these situations where they don't really know the answer, but they don't want to bring it to the next step up because they're afraid they're going to look stupid or they're going to be looked at as less valuable. And then what happens is the problem starts to metastasize and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then by the time you have to bring it to them because it's going to explode. And that's a poor leader. So what will happen is if you're a mid-level leader and you have to report to someone above you and you try to take so much responsibility and you let this problem, you know, just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then finally you dump that the big leader is going to look at you like you're incompetent. Because they're going to want you to bring the real shit to them, the things that are real problems before their problems, and they're going to want you to keep all the rest of the shit over here and let you handle that shit. And so that's just developing leaders. That's just understanding what the standard is. That's clear communication. And it's also keeping a watchful eye for what these people's natures are, because every single leader and every single manager underneath you is going to have a different nature. Some are going to have the propensity to bring you everything, which that's not good, right? Because you can't handle everything. That's their job.
This is the worst problem I've ever dealt with.
That's their job, right? So then they're invaluable because you're doing their job for them.
Right.
Some leaders won't bring you anything. And then the problems get so big that you have to step in. That's not valuable either. A great mid-level leader, someone who's working their way up the chain, whether it be, you know, you're the first management level or you're the 10th management level, whatever it is someone who understands the difference between bullshit and real shit. Okay, the real shit, you get help with, or you handle the real way. The bullshit, you let that be bullshit. Okay, so that's where we're at.
I love this topic. I got two more follow-ups on this real quick. So what about the situation of, as let's say I'm a mid-level leader, what is there something to say about situations that I technically can handle this, but doesn't mean that I should be the one to handle this? What's your thoughts on that? Like,
That's a great place for you to create extra value for yourself.
Okay.
So what I would do in that scenario is I would handle the problem effectively. I would make sure I can handle the problem effectively. Then I would handle the problem effectively. Then I would make it known how I handled the problem effectively.
Got it.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yep.
That way you don't find yourself in a situation where you're not, the value that you're providing is getting credited to someone else.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you got to find a creative way to do that, because nobody likes a brown nose. Nobody likes the guy that runs in and be like, oh, I did Madach's job for him. Yeah. Like, nobody fucking likes that guy.
Day 365.
Right. The way you do that, you're going to choke him out. So fucking... Hey, bro, I wouldn't have, listen, Madach handles his shit. That's why I used him.
He does.
If he was if he didn't, I wouldn't have used him. Mm-hmm. So, but like, dude, that's the game, man. The game is understanding the difference between real shit and bullshit and, you know, handling the real shit before it becomes real shit.
Yeah. And last little question on this, Andy, because, you know, with this transition and this mindset, right? Like, you know, yes, he's kind of a little wrong in some ways. You talk about improving that, and I'm just
I want to get back. I lost my train of thought. Don't be that brown noser guy that goes in and is like, oh, I did it.
Yeah.
Like, look, dude, figure out a creative way to say it. Walk in, you say, hey, I wanted you to know I saw this problem over there. I already fucking handled it. It's all good, but this was a problem. We just don't want it to happen again.
Got it.
Shit like that.
That's easy.
Yeah. Super and easy. That drives value, right? That's not tattletale-y, brown-nosing bullshit. Yeah. That's
hey, but Dot fucked this up.
Yeah, that's that. Don't ever do that because you lose credibility. Yeah. When you start throwing your teammates under the bus for praise, your leadership is going to look at you and think you're a little worm. They're going to say, that's a wormy motherfucker right there.
It's bad character.
That's right. Bad character. He's going to throw people under the bus. And if I don't do something, he's going to throw me under the bus too. Okay? So you don't want to present yourself as one of those people. There's a way to present those things and there's a way not to. The proper way is to walk in and say, hey, I didn't know if you guys knew this, but there was a problem over here. I fucking handled it. This is what I did. We probably got to make sure it doesn't happen again. And you talk in terms of the team, the mission. Right now, all of a sudden, leadership's looking at this guy saying, that guy fucking gets it. Right? Yeah. He's handling shit as it comes up. He's taking initiative. He's taking responsibility. He's practicing good character. He is team forward. And he's saying the same thing he would have said if he said it the other way. But a lot of you guys are so credit hungry and you think that like you need to get one up on the other guy that you end up making yourself look like a little wormy fuck by the way that you communicate.
Yeah. So, that's real shit, man.
Yeah. You got one more follow-up.
Yeah, so one last follow-up because, you know, we talk about this transition of his mentality, right? Like, yes, there's some things that he's looking at kind of wrong, but there's also some things, yeah, you know, you're on that.
Yeah.
But changing this mentality or transitioning it, you know, what would you suggest, like, you know, when looking at this, he's getting these late-night calls, do you almost take, like I don't want to say like you know, are you almost proud? Like, fuck, man, they're calling me to handle these problems. Is that something that can maybe help him transition over to that? Like, I mean, it's not an obligation to answer these. I get to answer these, and I'm the one that they think can solve these fucking problems.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's a level to that, right? Like, but the level to that is when you're later in business and you've got the company running so well that, like, nobody really needs you anymore, right? And then when they call, you're like, fuck, all right, they still need me. You know what I'm saying? But like when you do that too early in the game, you know, what ends up happening is you're building your own worth up, but you're not building their skills up. So part of the skill development for a leader that's beneath you in the chain is to have them figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
So sometimes you know the answer, but you don't fucking tell them the answer, right? Or sometimes you pick up the phone and you'll say, I mean, one of my favorite things is everybody in here fucking knows what I say. They will call me on the fucking phone. What will I say?
What do you think?
That's right. There you go. So that's a great training tool for your management. When they call you and they don't know what to do, flip it back on them and say, hey, what the fuck do you think, bro? This is what you're in the middle of it. You're the fucking soldier. If we're in a war and you're out there 30 miles over there, I don't know what the fuck that looks like.
Right.
What the fuck do you think? And then I'm going to know the answer because I have experience.
You've been
most
on the
likely
front line
right
before. Yeah.
So he's going to say either something that makes a lot of sense or something that's fucking ridiculous. And if it's ridiculous, I'll say, well, instead of saying, hey, you're a fucking moron, which is what a lot of people do, I'll say, okay, well, what about this?
Yeah.
What about that? And I'll start to corral them back over to make them understand, okay, that's not the right call. This would be the right call. Mm-hmm. And I do that through asking strategic questions based upon what they are presenting as the information. Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to take someone's wind out of their sails by saying, bro, that's the dumbest shit ever. And by the way, I did that for a long time. Okay. I didn't always understand what I'm telling you guys right now. There's, you know, 10 years ago, I was a different kind of leader, a very, way less skilled leader where people would come to me and I'd be like, what the fuck, dude, you're fucking blah. And I get pissed. Right. But what I started realizing is I was missing opportunities to cultivate their skill set, which is very simply, what do you think? And if they say the right thing, you say, dude, I think that's a great idea. Let's go fucking do that. And then they own the solution, which builds their skill, builds their confidence, and gives them the approval to go out and handle things more, right? Yeah. And then if they don't have the right answer, you just corral them back in. You say, okay, well, what about this? And have you thought about that? And if you thought about this, and these are all the things that you know why it's not going to work, right? And then they start, they're like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. And now you're taking an opportunity where you would normally, a low-level leader would be like, why the fuck are you bringing me that? And you're taking it and turning it into an actual skill development conversation every single time. So when you answer the fucking phone, you should be thinking of it as that. This is an opportunity for me to make my team better by having a critical conversation with them. And that's how I choose to look at it. So it's not like the perspective of, oh, they need me.
Right.
It is now for me because, like, my guys are so good.
But again, 25 years.
They're so good. Yes. Yeah. Like, yeah. Now I know, like, if that does make me feel good, right? Because they don't need me that much.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is that you should look at every single, along the way, what, no matter where you are, you're in the beginning of the journey, the middle of the journey, or you're established as an opportunity to develop and further the skill set of your leadership below you.
I love it, man. Well, guys, Andy, that was three.
Yep. Go pay the fee.
Sleeping on the floor, now my jewelry box froze. Fuck a bowl, fuck a stove, counted millions in a cold. Bad bitch, booted swole, got her on bankroll. Can't fold, just a no, head shot, case closed.